Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty-do, you ready to go fishing today,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Comfort?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Trish, where are you?
Todd, hi, I'm in downtown Fort Worth. I think I've got one girl, but she's not interested at all in anyone preaching to her. Hold on here. Let me just double check and see. Cayenne, right? Would you be willing to talk to Todd? I'm live on the air right now. All I have to do is hand you my cell phone, but you've got to be you. So in other words, I don't want to hear like maybe right answers or what your grandmother believes, but you express yourself and your beliefs. Would you do it? You've got two ladies here pushing you. Her mom is here, too. So, Kyan, how old are you?
Happy Ray.
She's 17 years old, and she was kind of raised Baptist in a way, right? But it is not getting. She's getting married, Todd, in October, and
Trish.
She's not getting married in a church.
Okay, Trish, yes. Is this the one that doesn't want to be preached to?
This is her.
And she's coming on?
Yes, she is. She said, sure.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? You're going to preach at her?
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to be up front.
All right. Let's get her on and see what happens. All right. Don't forget to go to fishwithtrish.com. Fishwithtrish.com to check out our website. It's the bomb. All right, Trish, let's have at it.
Okay. I'm going to pass you on. I hope I don't get yelled at afterwards. Hold on.
Hope you have a phone when you're done.
Cayenne.
Yes.
My name is Ray. Appreciate you coming on the program. Just to be up front with you, this is a Christian program. And you don't want to be preached at, is that right?
Right.
Is there any reason for that?
I just don't think that different people should tell you how you should and should not believe in things. Because I've been to many different churches, and they always tell you, you know, different things. They always say you should do this or you shouldn't do this. And
Cayenne, you sound like you've got strength of character. I mean, you can handle life, and you can, you know, handle what comes to you. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, let me preach at you and see what you think. And if you don't like it, say just shut up. Can you handle that?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Do you think money can make you happy?
Yes and no.
Yes and no?
Because
good answer.
Life revolves around money.
Yeah, what's with a no? What's with a no?
It can't always make you happy, but life revolves around it. You have to have it to live.
Yeah, I mean, money would make me happy. I'd rather see my family with a nice meal on the table and rent paid and the mortgage paid up and gas in the car rather than have no money and have a hungry family. I mean, money can make you happy. There's nothing wrong with money. You know what's wrong? It's the love of money that's wrong. So there's nothing wrong with money. Okay. Cayenne, tell me about your beliefs. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you believe in God?
Because I just believe that there's something there that makes everything happen. I mean, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and creation is beautiful, and it shows the genius of his creative hand. I mean, you try making a sparrow or a dove or a cow or a horse or a flower. We just can't do it from nothing. So obviously there's a creator that created creation. Do you think there's a place called heaven?
What?
Do you think there's a place called heaven?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you think you're a good person and you'll go there?
I think everyone goes there.
Even adults?
Everyone does something wrong in their life. I mean, you can't be perfect.
How old are you, Cayenne?
I'm 17.
Okay. Have you heard of Adolf Hitler?
Yes.
Do you know what he did?
Yes.
He was responsible for the murder of little children and their mothers and 6 million Jews and gypsies and blacks and homosexuals. He just had them slaughtered. Do you think he should go to heaven?
Not necessarily. I mean, but if that's how he was raised and stuff, and that's what he was taught to believe, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying it's right, but I mean...
Do you think it's wrong, what he did?
Yes, it was very wrong.
So he should be punished, so he shouldn't really end up getting the reward of heaven.
Right.
Okay, so that makes sense that some people are so bad they shouldn't go to heaven. That makes sense?
Right.
Okay, Cayenne, now do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
Okay, this is where you might feel preached at, so hold on. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's see how strong your character is. How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
Tons.
What?
I mean, it's just people do it just so that they don't hurt other people, you know?
Yeah,
Everyone does it.
What about real lies? Have you told, you know, deceitful lies in your life?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes a backstabber, I mean.
Yeah. So, have you ever stolen anything in your life?
No.
This isn't one of those many lies, is it? I mean, I'm talking about little things in your whole life. Ever taken something that belongs to somebody else?
No. I mean, like, my sister's makeup or something, but she always knows it's me, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
but you don't steal your sister's makeup. You just borrow it, you know?
Right.
I mean, so it's not theft. So you've never taken anything, never downloaded music off the internet or anything like that. You've always done that, which is right. Huh?
Right. I've never done any of that, so...
Okay,
no.
Now, have you ever used God's name in vain?
I'm sure a couple of times.
Okay, now, I don't know if you realize how serious that is, but God gave you life... And you've taken his name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust, and that's called blasphemy. Now, there's one to go, and it's the seventh commandment. We're looking at the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust, sexual desire?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got red blood in your veins. So, hold on, Cayenne. This is how God sees you, as a liar, a lying blasphemous adulterer at heart, and that's only four of the Ten Commandments. So here's a big if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Probably guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
I believe that most everyone goes to heaven, so I think that I would go to heaven.
So God doesn't care if you lie and blaspheme and commit adultery in your heart?
But most people do. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, I got to agree with you that you're exactly right. But so do you think God doesn't care about lying? And because, you know, when you read the Bible, the scriptures say lying is so serious to God. The scriptures say lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. He killed a husband and wife in the book of Acts because they told one lie. And then the scriptures warn all liars of their part in the lake of fire. And it says no blasphemer will enter heaven and no adulterous person can get into heaven. So pretty serious, huh?
Right.
So if you died today, you'd end up in hell. Does that concern you?
A little bit, yeah.
Boy, it must. Now, do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
No.
Well, this is how much God cares about you, Cayenne. 2,000 years ago, God became a man, Jesus of Nazareth, and he gave his life on the cross. Now, most of us know that, but we don't realize it was a legal transaction that was taking place. You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, so did I, the whole of humanity did, but Jesus paid our fine in his life's blood. And because he suffered for us and took our punishment, God can now dismiss our case. He can allow us to live. The Bible says, I'm sure you're familiar with it, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So because of the suffering death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God can now forgive you all your sins, dismiss your case, and grant you the gift of everlasting life. And what you have to do in response is repent of your sins, that is, apologize to God and turn from your sins. And the second thing you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ. Don't just believe in him. You know, you can look at a 10-story building and believe the elevator is going to take you up to the 10th floor, but it won't take you there until you trust yourself to it. And so there's a difference between believing and trusting. And you and I have got to trust Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation. Todd, would you like to talk to Cayenne?
Hey, and Cayenne.
Just before you do, Cayenne, thank you so much for listening to me. I think you're a great sport.
Thank you.
Yeah, he wasn't too preachy, was he?
No.
Not too bad. But you know what, Cayenne? Don't tell him this, but I kind of agree with you on the money thing. It kind of can make you happy, but if you're having a great dinner with somebody that you really hate, it doesn't really make you happy. It makes your circumstances better. So I think I'm tipping the scales to your side on that one, Cayenne.
Okay.
Just don't tell the other guy. All right. Now, what the stuff that he said to you, I do agree with him on that. We're really bad lawbreakers. We're bad sinners. All of us, not just you, but all of us. And we either go to hell or the judge dismisses our case because somebody paid the fine for us. I know that's preaching, but that's good news, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the important thing, though, there's forgiveness available for you, Cayenne, but you've got to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. You've got to agree that you're not a good person. You're a bad person like the rest of us. Apologize. Right. Turn from your sin. Say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to do those things anymore. I don't like those things anymore. I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. I trust you for my entire life. And God says, when you come to him with a broken heart, he'll forgive your sins and grant you everlasting life. It's kind of the best offer that there's ever been. So, Cayenne, despite the fact that you kind of got preached at, you got something really big to think about today. Would you please spend some time doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So tell me, Cayenne, in your own words, what do you need to do to be saved?
Just pretty much, hold on, I'm trying to think about it.
Repent and put your trust in Jesus. Okay?
Right.
Complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. All right?
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the time. You were very tolerant of us. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, Cayenne, see ya.
Thank you.
Bye. Hey, Ray?
She wasn't pepper, Cayenne Pepper. She was more kind of salt.
She was very nice.
Yeah.
But, Ray, I actually agreed with you. I just wanted to make her feel good.
So you don't want to pay cut?
That's it, exactly. Mm-hmm. I love you. I think you're brilliant. You've never said anything wrong in your whole life. Hey, everybody. It's not preaching. What you just heard from Ray is it's question asking. And that's not, you're a sinner. It's very biblical. Jesus did it. We should be doing it. Pray for Cayenne. And when you witness, don't preach and accuse. Ask questions. Use the law. Then give them grace and repentance and faith.
Back with more Witnessing Encounters on Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time, wretched.org/time, and join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time, wretched.org/time.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they had to ride a bangka across the river for 1 hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To the streets we go. Hello, Trish.
Hi, Todd. I finally found my guy. I think. He's a Jew, right? A Jewish, but not really practicing. And he's kind of nervous, but he'll talk to you, but he's not sure what he wants to say. And all of his girlfriends that are with him are saying, please do it. Please go on the air. Right, guys? Okay. Let's continue to cheer for him. Okay. All right, Todd. So his name's Michael. And do you go to school, Michael? You're out for the summer?
Yeah.
So he's a student, and he had his bar mitzvah and all that a while ago, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's willing to talk to you. I'm at the South Lake Town Center. It's a real pretty hot day today. And, you know, it's like an outdoor mall, so it's real nice.
All right, let's give it a go with Michael.
Okay.
And his Vegas review.
Yes, it is. Michael, you're live in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Michael, I've got one question for you, sir.
All right.
You've got to explain why you're with two women. What's up? Are you a kind of a Casanova, are you?
No,
you're a ladies'
we're just
man.
Hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, we're friends from, like, seventh grade, so.
Hmm. All right. How old are you now, Michael?
I'm 15.
You're 15?
Yeah.
Dude, you sound like you're 30. I'm just telling you. That's not a bad thing.
I know.
You just don't sound like you're 15. What are your parents feeding you to make you sound like that?
Lots of vegetables.
Beef. No, you're from Texas. You got to say cows. You're eating lots of cows. Hey, Michael, you were bar mitzvahed, eh?
Yes.
And what happened that day?
Well, I pretty much went up on the Bima, which is the rise platform in our synagogue, and they told me to read from our book, the Torah, and I had been studying for like 2 years before then, and I read pretty bad.
You had to read in Hebrew, did you?
Hebrew.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, no, I'm just listening, dude.
And so I read from the Hebrew text, and then there was a lot of cheering, and then an hour and a half later, after all the speeches, I was suddenly a man. I did nothing special, but...
Just like that.
It is a rite of passage.
You went from boy to man.
You have to sacrifice hours a day for 2 years to study for an hour and a half long service.
All right, then, dude, tell me. What out of all those three-hour sessions, tell me one fascinating thing that you learned, something about Judaism that was super cool to you.
That there are a lot of Hebrew letters, and it's really complicated to read, surprisingly.
So all that struck you was just the Hebrew language is pretty difficult.
It is.
What about theology, religion, a teaching, something? Is there anything that struck you?
Not really. I was born and raised Jewish. I learned pretty much everything else.
What'd they teach you for 3 hours?
We study the Old Testament rather than the New Testament. That's all we do.
All right.
You guys know the same thing we do, except we know a little bit more Hebrew.
Yeah. All right. Hey, dude, I'll teach you something about that happened to you when you were 8 days old. Did you get circumcised when you were 8 days old?
I probably did.
You'd realize...
Nine days? Yes.
9 days? But
I don't know.
Better been
I know
eight
I was.
Days. Yeah, it should have been on the eighth day. Do you know that there's a chemical inside of the human body called prothumbrin? And prothumbrin is the element that helps you to clot your blood. Do you know when your prothumbrin level is at your all-time high?
Yeah.
At what age your prothumbrin level is the highest that it'll ever be? Eight days old.
I'm going to take an educated guess here. 13?
Yes, sir. When you're 8 days old.
Wow.
That's pretty cool that God would say circumcise your children, your sons on the eighth day, because back then it was kind of dangerous and a little bit risky, but God knew that your body had prothumbrin in it so that you could clot your blood and not bleed to death.
Wow.
There you go. There's a little tidbit for you. Let me.
I'm out of school and I'm still learning.
All righty. Now, I want to read something to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you did the Old Testament. We do the New Testament, all right? I want to read to you something about Jesus, all right?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to ask you a question. So pay very close attention, young man, all right?
Okay.
There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. But it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sins, our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins, but he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. We have all strayed away like sheep, left God's paths for our own, yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, never said a word. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he didn't open his mouth. From prison and trial, they led him to his death, but nobody realized that he was dying for their sins. Dude, did you understand all of that?
Yes.
Cool. Now, where do you think that I read that from in the Bible?
In the New Testament?
No, sir. It was written by Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born.
Okay.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty uncanny, don't you think?
I don't really know what to think of that since I didn't read all of the New Testament.
Well, you know that Jesus Christ, we believe that he was the Messiah promised in the Old Testament because of passages like Isaiah 53, what I just read to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did. He died on a cross, like the lamb at the Passover slaughter. He died for the forgiveness of sins. I think it's pretty amazing that was written 700 years before he was here. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, here's a question.
Yes, sir.
How are we so certain that they wrote that the moment he thought of that? So maybe he wrote that later or during his life.
Yeah, because we know it, and we've got the manuscript, so we know that Isaiah, when it was written. Yeah, but Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus was born.
True.
Michael, I'm gonna take you to your bar mitzvah for just a moment.
Right.
Tell me, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, what was that about?
God, that was...
It's about God. We'll cover for you. Yeah.
Sorry, a little nervous.
You're doing fine, young man.
Yom Kippur.
Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement.
To atone for...
Yeah, we're supposed to... We fast to forgive our sins and stuff.
Yeah, but you're right. That's what you do today. But in the Bible, what would happen, and what's prescribed in the Bible, is the priest would lay his hands on a sheep as if to transfer the sins of the people onto the sheep, and then they'd slit his throat, because the Old Testament, Leviticus 17:11, says there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So a lamb had its blood shed, was killed for the covering, not for the forgiveness, but for the covering of sins. That's what the Day of Atonement was about.
Okay.
Tell me what Passover was about.
Passover, you know, the plagues. We all know about that. You're the one with all this in front of you.
Well, you'll remember
You'll
remember this one, though.
Jew.
Okay, well, you'll remember this one, though. I'm sure of it. Okay.
Everyone listening.
I won't tell your parents. All right.
All right.
Because the death angel was going to come as the last plague so that the children of Israel could be released from Egypt. And the death angel was going to kill the firstborn son in every family. But God said, if you have a lamb live with you, an unblemished lamb, and then kill it and put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, the death angel will pass over you.
Yeah.
Okay, dude, I just shared with you three stories about a lamb's blood, and a lamb's blood for the covering of sins.
Well, even now in the Middle East, lambs and goats are used for currency and trade and stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, we're still working on the currency stuff 2,000 some odd years ago.
Okay, but dude,
lambs were
more important. Hold on. You're going down a different trail here. But more important, Jesus was called the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Even in the Old Testament, the part of the book that you like, a blood sacrifice from a lamb was required for the covering of sins, but Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for the forgiveness of sins. And here's why. When you were reading in your Old Testament, I'll bet you read the laws of Moses, right?
Yes.
Do you remember the laws of Moses, like, thou shalt not steal? Have you ever stolen anything?
Oh, yes.
Have you ever done anything to dishonor mom and dad?
I think every teenager has done that.
I agree with you, sir. And have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I think everyone on this green earth has.
Agreed. Have you ever looked with lust?
Yes.
Alrighty. See, here's your problem, Michael. just like everybody else, just like you said, on everybody on this green earth has lusted, has lied, has blasphemed God's name, has stolen, has done everything bad, and God is angry because we've broken his laws. And if we don't have a lamb sacrifice to take away our sins, when we die and God judges us, we're going to be in big trouble. That is what the law of Moses tells us, that we're lawbreakers and that we've got a debt to pay to God. And the only way that it can be paid is if blood is shed. So, Michael, here's what I want to leave you with, dude.
All right.
I want you to think about those laws of Moses. And I want you to think about all the blood that was shed in the Old Testament and how it all pointed to one day there'd be the perfect sacrifice for your sins. Michael, you're a man now because they said so. And you're 15 years old. I want you to think about your sins and what you'll do when you face God. And if you don't have a Savior, what will you do? I'd suggest to you, my young Jewish friend, your Messiah is Jesus, the Lamb of God who died to take away your sins. And you need to repent and put your trust in him. Would you please ponder that today when you're away from the Goyles?
Sure.
It's all I can ask you to do, dude. I'm grateful for the time.
All right.
See you, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Amazing book. Is it not? I mean, really. Could humans put that together?
More witnessing next on Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hi, Trish.
Hi, Todd. I'm at Dick's Sporting Goods in, what mall are we at? Northeast Mall in the Fort Worth area. And I'm talking to a very nice gentleman. He works here at the shoe store. He's got a really interesting story. He actually lived in Saudi Arabia when he was a young kid. And so he heard, like, the Muslim, you know, the Muslim call to prayer, and he said he got mad at the age of 5 because he remembers all of the power going out or something, and he couldn't watch TV, and he didn't like it. He didn't like that, and all the Muslims, I guess, pray, but, you know, he was raised Christian. He's pretty much open to any religion. I asked him, do you think, you know, how many roads are there to God? And he said many. He thinks there's many ways to God. Right? Right, Josh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. His name's Josh.
Alrighty.
How old are you, Josh? Joshua? How old are you? He's 21, and he's going to college in Louisiana, but he's out here in Fort Worth just for about, you know, just during the summertime to work here at the sporting goods place. And he wants to own his own physical therapy shop. And I asked him this question. I said, Josh, if you could offer the world one thing, what would you offer them? And what did you say, Josh?
Good advice for everyone to better themselves.
So that they could better themselves. So he'd offer them good advice. He has been to many different churches. He's been in, you know, Mormon churches, Catholic churches, Jehovah's Witness churches, and Christian churches. And he says he's pretty much just open to all religions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he might be open to all religions. Let's see if he's open to the idea about Jesus and bending the knee. That's usually where the rubber kind of hits the road. All right, Trish, let's give it a go with Joshua. All righty.
Hello?
Hey, Joshua, how do you do?
I'm doing all right, sir. How about yourself?
You know what? Really good. What does your name mean?
My name means the Son of God.
Son of God. I thought it was God saves.
Well, it can mean both, but I was always told it means the Son of God.
Uh-huh. Who do you think the Son of God is?
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
You are?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what is it? What do, if I were to become a Christian, what do I need to do to become a Christian?
Well, you have to you have to be baptized, and I really don't know exactly everything, because everything that I did about for it was at a young age.
Right.
It was just something I grew up in.
Okay, Josh, Why would I want to become a Christian? Witness to me.
Why would you want to become a Christian?
Yeah, sell me.
I feel that Christianity, it's like actually one of the babies of religion, and it's actually one of the up and growing ones. And you can actually help it further itself by joining in.
I think I'm going to pass.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh, why do you think that if the name means God saves, what do you think that statement means? God saves. What does that explain that meaning to me?
I believe that it explains that He saves all things. That's what I believe that it means, because it's saying that He will save you in a time of need.
So if I'm going through a hard time, God will be there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but I know a lot of Christians, they've been going through some financial hard times for an awfully long time. What is He waiting for?
He's looking to see exactly how they might take their own approach to doing that, and He wants to see exactly if they basically stick probably to the Ten Commandments in doing so.
All right. And you work at a shoe store, is that correct, Joshua?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what do you do there?
I help with customer service. I basically am here for the customer's needs.
All right. And so do you try shoes on people?
Yes, sir, I do.
Do you think feet are ugly?
Some people are, some people aren't.
Sometimes do you just want to go, ooh, I wish I were on break right now?
Yes, sir.
Do you use Purell when you're done?
Sir?
Do you use Germ Killer when you're done?
Most definitely.
Attaboy, you keep that up. All right, I want to quote a Bible verse to you, all right, that has to do with feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Josh?
Yes,
that's
sir.
A Bible verse. You're a Christian. What's the good news?
Yeah. Can you repeat the verse?
How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. What's the good news?
The good news was probably, I do recall there was a time also in the Bible where there was a woman who was washing Jesus' feet, and she was, he was traveling, and I believe he stopped in and she was washing his feet, and she was in need of something, and he was able to help her out.
Okay.
If I'm correct.
All right, let me share with you what I think the good news is, all right? And I want to be the ugly feet that bring you the good news, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Before there's good news, just in the statement alone, Joshua, it seems like there must be something wrong in order for there to be good news, right?
Right.
I mean, otherwise it would just be information, not good news. So here's the problem. Here's what makes the good news the good news. The problem is God is mad at human beings.
Okay.
And the reason that he's mad is because God gave laws and rules. He made us, he feeds us, he clothes us, he provides everything for us, including the air that we breathe, and he's given us some rules to live by because he's perfect. And we've broken those rules, and so God is really furious, the Bible says. Do you remember the Ten Commandments, Joshua?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Ten Commandments are the rules that I want you to look at right now to understand your problem and your situation so that the good news will make sense to you. If God judged you by the standard of the Ten Commandments, let's just see how you would do, all right?
Okay.
All right, so you die, God judges you based on the Ten Commandments. And for instance, he knows everything that you've ever said and everything you've ever thought. Have you ever taken God's name in vain, Joshua? Use God's name lightly? Yeah, that's called blasphemy.
Blasphemy. And,
yeah, God says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain, because his name is holy. Has God always been first in your life?
Yes, sir.
He has?
Yes, sir.
But you've used his name in a coarse way?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you've used his name in a bad way, he hasn't always been first, at least during that time, because you dragged his name through the mud. As a kid, you were probably like the rest of us. Sometimes you did naughty things and dishonored mom and dad, right?
Right.
Yeah, just like the rest of us. Here's what Jesus said. You've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll just assume you're like the rest of us, and you've chalked up some marks on that one, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes, sir.
All right. God knows it all. Every thought, right. every deed done in darkness, every nasty thing you've said about anybody, and he's going to judge you. Would he find you innocent or guilty on that day, Joshua?
I believe that he probably, going off of those things, he would probably find me guilty. But if he could find it in his heart like he can for most, he might give me a pass.
Well, here's why he can't just give you a pass. Because then he would be saying that your sinning was okay. And that his
right.
laws meant nothing. And that his character and nature is as sinful as you are. And so he
yes.
can't just give you a pass. He's got to find you guilty, and he's got to punish lawbreakers. He must, if he is good. I mean, imagine a judge who knew that the criminal broke 10 crimes, 10 laws, and he
right.
just went, well, I'm just going to find it in my heart and let you go. Wah! We just go nuts over that because that's not right. It's not just.
Right.
Okay, so God finds you guilty. Where does God send people when they die who have broken his laws?
I believe the purgatory.
The Bible doesn't talk about such a place.
Okay.
Bible says heaven or hell.
Heaven or hell.
That's it.
So that means that he would probably send me to hell.
Now we see the bad news, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, that's what the Bible says, that everybody has broken his laws. We don't meet his standard. And because he's just and because he's good and because he's even loving, he must punish lawbreakers and send them to hell.
Yes, sir.
All right, Josh, the name of Jesus is derived from your name. What did Jesus do? It means salvation. What did he do to save you?
He died upon the cross.
There you go. Do you see how this works? You've
yes,
broken the laws. Jesus Christ, God himself, took the punishment you deserve. It's the great exchange. So you take all of your sins, all of your foulness, all of your filthiness, all of your lawbreaking. It was put on Jesus, and in exchange, you get the perfect righteousness, the perfect goodness of Jesus Christ. So when God judges you, he sees you as perfect. He sees you as holy because of what Jesus did. It's the good news. That's the good news. You can have all of your sins forgiven, and you can go to heaven, not because you're a good guy, but because you're a very bad guy who's been forgiven by a very good God. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, in response to that news, the Bible says you need to do something, Joshua. For God to save you, you got to humble yourself. You got to confess your sins, apologize, turn from your sins. That's called repentance.
Repentance.
Attaboy. And put your trust in Jesus, the Savior, and he will forgive all of your sins, and he'll make you a new creature. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So today, Josh, is the day of salvation. Your name means it. Please repent and put your trust in him, and he will save you, and you will know it. And then you won't be confused anymore about all these other religions. All right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Dude, a lot of people are going to be praying for you.
I hope so.
See ya. Thank you for the talk.
Yes, sir.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. We always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Check out, if you would please, our new evangelistic booklet called The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. It's the perfect tool for sharing with those who don't believe. The world will try to persuade you differently every day. You know the routine. Jesus, he was a very good teacher, or he was a fine prophet, but no more than that. The Man Who Split Time will show you how the Bible profoundly and undeniably proves that Jesus Christ is no mere mortal, but is God in the flesh. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time at wretched.org/time, and then join us on April 8th, the Easter Invasion. Wretches around the country going off to public colleges and universities, giving away copies of The Man Who Split Time and spreading the gospel. The Man Who Split Time. Get your copy today at wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
Picture, if you will, a Saturday night. You're sitting at your computer and you decide to watch an edifying video, maybe John MacArthur. And the next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you are knee deep in YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up again. Oh, been there, done that. It's happened to all of us. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There are hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio programs and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. Wretched's hour-long radio program, posted every day, tackles tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web watching giraffe and cat videos, why not head over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps you, like the rest of us, are scared to witness to somebody face-to-face. Well, these days you don't have to. You can witness to them on the telephone. No kidding. This is Wretched Radio on a Witness Wednesday. Let's get to the streets, shall we? Hi, Trish.
Hi, I'm in Fort Worth at a local mall. The best place to be.
It's the mall.
Really, you know, a lot of opportunities, lots of young people, and I always love talking to them. I found a nice young man, his name's Antonio, and he works here at the mall, and he's on a break, and he was walking outside, and I asked him, I went up to a big group of, you know, like maybe 7 or 8 kids, and said, "What, one of you like to be on the radio?" and explained it, and they all left except him. He was the last one standing there, and I said, "What made you want to do it? Do this? Like, why were you so willing?" He's like, "I have nothing to lose," and he's right, you know. Because he's going to hear the gospel. But his name is Antonio, and he is open to anything. He wasn't raised in a certain religion. He's just trying to better his life. He's a young man. He's 20, and he has a second child on the way by the same woman, but he's not married to her. And I asked him a question, Todd. I said, you know, what's your goal in life? Like, what makes you tick? What do you live for? What's your goal in life? And he said, it's to live comfortably. He wants to live comfortably, have his bills paid, and just live a good life. So that's Antonio.
Hmm. Wowza. All righty. Fascinating. All right. By the way, follow up with Joshua. Antonio, undoubtedly at Fish with Trish, right?
That's right. Fishwithtrish.com, and was really good with Joshua. He said, after right when he was done, he just looked at us, and he's like, wow. He's like, my head is spinning. I've never thought of these things before. And you know, Todd, shameful because, and the reason why I say I'm shameful is because he goes to a local church that we know of here, and it's just seeker sensitive, and they're not preaching the gospel, and it's just a shame, you know, that he's not hearing these things. So we invited him out to Sovereign Joy, our church, which just happens to be pretty close to the one that he attends, and where he could get some solid teaching. So hopefully he'll come. Hopefully Joshua will come.
Very cool. Pray for him, and let's give it a go with Antonio, shall we?
Nice
job, Trish, as always.
Here he is.
Well, Antonio, done. This is Antonio.
Hello.
Hey, Antonio. How do you do?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Dude, everybody walked away but you. You stayed. How come?
I don't know. I mean, what have I got to lose? I don't have anything to lose.
No,
nothing to gain.
Yeah, I suppose you, unless we were thugs or something. You know, we're trying to do something devious. Hopefully not. I was intrigued. Trish said that your goal in life is to live comfortably.
Yes.
Correct? It's nice to not have any pain. It's nice to not have any suffering, to have any worries. That's a good thing, correct?
Correct.
All right. So if your goal in this life is to make sure you're comfortable, what's your goal in the afterlife? Is it also to be comfortable?
Yes, it is.
Do you think it's going to be comfortable when you die?
You know, I've really never given that any thought. I mean, as I was telling Trisha earlier, like, I thought about it once when I was really, really little. It used to freak me out, and, you know, I've never really given it any thought after that.
Were you one of those kids? I ask you this because when I was a little kid, I was horrified to die. Were you one of those kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where do I go? What's going to happen? Where does everybody else go?
Yeah, me too. I just had a bad feeling about it. I think that's the conscience, you know, the thing inside of our brain that says, you know, I've done some pretty horrible things here. If there's a principle in the sky, I'm going on detention in a big way because I've done some pretty bad things.
Yeah.
You can relate to that?
Yes, I can. At that age, when I was really little, it wasn't about the bad things I've done. I could say it was more about seeing my mom or seeing people that I haven't seen in a while, or people that was already dead that meant a lot to me.
Sure, understood. Hey, let's do something, Antonio. Let's make sure that your afterlife is going to be comfortable and good. All right.
All right.
All right. I happen to be a Christian. You okay with that?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that when we die, God is a just judge. He's a law keeper. He hates it when people break his laws because he's laid down the laws and he's the judge and he knows every single thought that everybody's ever had. And he's going to have us all give an account when we die. And there's only two places that he's going to send people, either to heaven or to hell. So if your desire in this life is to be comfortable, I would think that this should be pretty inspiring for you to get you seeking to try to figure out just where am I going to be going to heaven or am I going to be going to hell?
Right.
Yeah. So let's just take the test that the judge might give us on judgment day. If his rules, if his laws are the Ten Commandments and he brings us into his courtroom and just like a judge, he's got his laws and he knows that we are lawbreakers, yikes, Antonio, that should start already to give us kind of a queasy feeling in our stomach. And if he ran through the laws, starting with number one of the Ten Commandments, and if he asked you, have I always been first in your life, what would you say to God?
I would have to say that that's not true, that I haven't put him first.
All right. That's honest. All right. If he asked you, have you ever taken my name in vain? I created you. I've given you life, Antonio. Did you ever use my name in a bad way? And remember, he knows everything you've ever spoken. What would you say?
I would say, yes, I have.
How many times do you think?
I couldn't name more than I should have.
All right. I know everything you did as a child. Did you ever do things that dishonored your parents? What would you say to God?
I would say, yes, I have.
All right. His son, Jesus Christ, said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. What would you say to God?
That would be true also.
Yeah.
That I have.
Yeah. Like the rest of us. Because he knows your thought life. He knows everything that's going on in our brain. In fact, the Bible even says that if you've ever just been really angry at somebody without a cause, that you're a murderer at heart. Have you lied in your life, Antonio?
Yes, I have.
Desired things that didn't belong to you that you just wish you had because you want them?
Yep.
Here's why that bothers God so much, Antonio. He says that he's the provider of every good gift comes from God. And when we look at things and go, oh, I want that, it says to God, I don't like the way you've been providing for me. I don't like the things you've given me. I want more. And it's very insulting to his character and to his nature and to his kindness. So, Antonio, with your own admission of breaking all the laws, God's going to slam his gavel down. Is he going to proclaim you innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Where do you think he's going to send you?
He's going to send me to hell.
How comfortable is hell? What do you know about it?
It's a dark place and very hot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so dark, you won't even be able to see your hand in front of your face. It's just, you know, that's it's that pitch black that where you just can't see anything. Some people say that if you stay in pitch black like that in this life, I don't know how many minutes it is, but you can really go just nuts because you can't see anything.
Right.
And it's a lake of fire. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it goes on for forever. And the reason, Antonio, that it's not even in the slightest bit comfortable is because our offenses against God are such, they're just such stinking crimes before him because he's so holy. You know, you and I might not think it's a big deal to lie, but we're not God. He does. He's truth. And when we lie, it's a lying lips are an abomination to God. So, Antonio, if the Bible is right, and I think it is, dude, you can work really hard in this life. Your life's going to be comfortable. Your afterlife is going to be miserable, dude.
So I'm on air for you to tell me that?
Well, I did want to tell you that, Antonio. And here's why. Because, dude, I don't want you to go there. And God says that he doesn't want you to go there either. Antonio, what has God done so that you don't have to go to that place?
What has he done?
Yeah, what did Jesus do so you don't have to go to hell for forever?
He died for my sins.
There you go. There's the good news in all of this. This has been pretty crummy so far, but there's the good news right there.
I was getting kind of worried.
Yeah, I know it. That's just, it's a horrible, I mean, you won't have a lawyer. You won't have anybody to help you. No calls, no 800 numbers to dial. You and God alone on Judgment Day. It is the most horrifying thought in the world to me. But Jesus Christ took the wrath, the punishment that you deserve. God poured out his wrath that was directed at you, and he put it on his only son, Jesus Christ, because he's kind. And the Bible says, despite the fact you're a lawbreaker, he loves you. And he demonstrated it by dying on a cross. And he says, in response, you must repent, apologize, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus. And then, Antonio, he will save you, and he will make you his child. And then when you die, you won't go to heaven. You'll go to hell because of his amazing sacrifice. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
All right, dude. So here's what you got. You've got a very uncomfortable future ahead of you. But the good news is God will save you. Will you please think about these things today? Think about your sins. Think about Jesus on the cross. Repent and put your trust in him, okay?
All righty.
All right, dude. I'm glad we got to talk. Thanks for toughing this out with me.
No, it's no problem.
All right, man.
You have a good day.
Thank you. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.